Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Welcome to the third episode of the Premier Non-League Podcast Summer Special Series. It's just me and Trev tonight. Trev, how are you doing, mate? How was your beer session with Dean Brennan? Because I know you've kind of name-dropped a lot over the last couple of days, but I think you had a good time, didn't you?
I don't drop names anywhere. Yeah, no, it was really, really nice. But that's the nice thing about non-league, though, is that you can get close to players, you can get close to managers, even chairman in some clubs as well. You can't do that when you get to the Football League, so you've got to make the most of it.
Yeah, well, me and obviously Gaz have been taking turns on comment on your Facebook wall with the J in between as friend post. So like, we'll give it a break tonight because I'm sure you'll be name dropping soon, and we don't want to upset you like we upset Pete, do we?
No.
But you missed a fascinating interview we recorded with Frontier Amateurs Rich Phippen, but you were a part of that amazing interview we had with Dorking Wanderers Mark White. It was a cracking interview, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's very, very open. He's actually really like a lot of, if you speak to a lot of the managers and that, they'll be as open as that. There's obviously some things they can't say. You've got to keep some things on the hush hush. But no, he's a very nice guy. He runs his club well, and they got a nice shot at the National League next year.
Yeah, and it's going to be really fascinating to see what they do next season. But moving on, we have teased it last week, a very good social media teaser that Trevor is on our socials. We're joined by, I'd say, it has to be record-breaking, Joe Benn from Littlehampton Town. Joe, good evening. How are you doing, mate?
Evening, boys. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm not sure on record breaking. We can't confirm that, but I'll confirm it
as a Premier Non-League podcast. We'll say it's record breaking.
An unofficial confirmation. I will certainly take that.
Well, especially at your step, and I'd say most steps of non-league, to be fair. But I think it's important we have someone from Littlehampton Town on because you guys were so kind to have our advert at the side of the pitch for the little running you had at the end of the season. It was really sort of proud to see him on a couple of press photos. But we'll move on to that season. But Joe, how's your summer been like? Because you've had a whirlwind season. We'll get onto your stats and everything later on. But you must have been pretty needing that summer break and stuff. But from what I understand, you probably haven't had much time to actually get a summer break, have you?
It's honestly been so full on. I think obviously we went from Wembley to then the Wednesday, whatever date that was in May, to the final against Saltdean. And then, you know, we were back training last Monday. So we were sort of talking, being back at training, like it's literally, I think we worked it out. It had only been sort of 4 or 5 weeks, which is sort of nothing when you compare it to the teams who were in our league who, you know, on that last day of the season finished. They sort of had almost double that. So it's been crazy. But I'm sort of a bit of a weirdo when it comes to stuff like that. It's good to be back. I love it. I love being around sort of the group and just trying to stay sort of active and get back playing, really.
So what's let's start from the beginning. What's your footballing journey been? So, you know, for those that are listening and don't know who Joe Benn is, let's start from the beginning. So down in the youth sub, were you linked to any sort of professional football team, or how did your footballing journey start?
There was when I was sort of, I think it was around 12. So obviously started playing from a stupidly young age. So my brother, who's 5 years older than me, it was just natural for us to play together. My old man's like absolutely mad on football, literally lives and breathes it. So it was just normal for us to have that around our lives. I think around, I can't remember the exact age, it was sort of like 11, 12. I was with sort of Brighton schoolboys and I sort of didn't enjoy it. It wasn't something that I looked forward to. And this is the sort of been the amazing thing with my old man is that he's never, ever pushed sort of any of us as sort of kids to do anything. And he's always been like, same with mum. It's like, whatever you want to do, we'll back you. And at the time I was like, I don't enjoy it. I don't want to go. I sort of enjoyed playing at the time with my friends. still playing at, you know, good football at that age group, but I enjoyed it more. So sort of come away from that sort of professional setup as such. And then, yeah, it was just normal youth football. I think at under 18s, I was with East Preston and Worthing United for, I think first year was East Preston, second year was Worthing United or vice versa. And then I left for university. So I went to a university called Hartbury, which is mad on football, mad on equine. And it was one of the things where I was like, my brother did it. I looked at what he did. He got a degree and sort of played football like a professional as such. It was something you'd train every day and you'd get your degree on the side. And I was like, this is an absolute no-brainer. Like, I've got to do this. So then, yeah, I went to university. And that was probably the hardest thing, like going to uni, being amongst pretty much everyone in that team, even second team, were all sort of release YTs. You know, we had a few lads who had been sort of pro signed. We had a lad who was at Arsenal and then got released and all of this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm well out of depth here. Got that sort of like imposter syndrome, like I shouldn't be here. And for those like people who know me, I'm not the most confident person when it comes to like believing in myself. I'll always sort of doubt it and things like that. So it was tough. And I think away from uni, so there was a few jokes made of it, but throughout my uni experience, I was a holding midfielder. So I remember in my third year, that was when I sort of, my first year I was with the under 19s. We won the National Cup for the under 19s, like played at the Britannia, which was amazing. Second year I was with the second team, and then first year I sort of broke into the first team. And yeah, I was holding midfielder, and I literally was like the most rat around player you could imagine. I remember we'd have like analysis sessions, and obviously the university, decent university, we had like the GPS trackers on our chest throughout the game. And on those trackers, you get your distance and stuff, but you used to get impacts. So anytime there was like a big collision or stuff, and we'd go through and everyone's charts would be like 2, 3, 4. And then it'd get to me and it's like 15. I'd literally just rat around, head it, kick it. And that was just my game. Finish uni, come back. And again, this is where sort of, me being me, I was just like, you know, if I don't play football, I still want to play, but I just want to enjoy it. And at the time, my brother was signing for Mile Oak, who one of his best mates was becoming manager. Ben Shoulders was starting his sort of like tenure there. And he was like, why don't you just come down? We get an opportunity to play football together. Like, we haven't done that since we were kids. Let's do it. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a go. And then, yeah, I think from there, I sort of played sort of centre midfield, then pushed on to in the hole, like attacking midfield. And then from there, yeah, just sort of did a couple of years. That was where I did my knee. So I was out for a year. And it was when I come back from my knee, I think Whitty had just come in. So Whitty's like an absolute Mile Oak legend. He always does like 10 years there. And they were struggling for a striker, and they were like, look, how'd you fancy just going up front? I've scored a couple of goals from the 10 and just see how you get on. And I think there was like 10 games left of the season, and I managed to bag like 10 or 12, something like that. And he was like, let's stick with this, like let's stay with that. And for the next year, we had Kurt take over at Mile Oak, and yeah, managed to score a few, and then sort of went to Littlehampton. And I guess can you say the rest is history? I feel like that's a bit cliche. No,
I think that's a lot of history.
It's about
yeah.
right, though, yeah.
Sort of how it's led to there.
Did Mitch and George come for you at Mile Oak, or was there another way of getting there to Littlehampton?
I had a little bit of chat with George, I remember. But no, I think we'd finished the season at Mile Oak, and was it just finished of COVID? I think COVID had just come in, or I can't remember off the top of my head, but Dan Hegarty was playing at Littlehampton, and my teacher training at his school, and he was my mentor. And obviously we'd played him a couple of times when I was at Mile Oak, and I was like, I just fancy that. I think my brother had just had his first child. He was sort of stepping away a little bit, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to be there. I liked playing with him. And I was like, you know what? I'll speak to Hegarty. And I dropped him a message and was like, look, you know, would they be interested in me coming over? Because at the time, Mark Bennett was the manager.
Yeah.
He put me in touch, and then he was like, we'd love to have you over. Sorted it from there. And yeah, that's sort of how it started.
And have you enjoyed the move? Obviously, for obvious reasons, we know it's a yes, but compared to Milo.
Yeah, it was one, like I've sort of said in this, like I don't know, how would I describe myself? I like being comfortable, but I do put myself in challenging situations. But I knew at Milo that I was liked there. That's always important. I want to be liked. Who doesn't want to be liked? I try and be a nice person, whatever I do. So I was like, what is it going to be like there? And Littlehampton, I think probably for the last 10 years, maybe 15 years, have had this sort of stigma about them. And to be fair, a few people at Milo were like, you shouldn't go there. It's not your type of club. You're not going to settle in there. And I was like, a little bit apprehensive. But honestly, it's genuinely been the best thing I've ever done. The group of lads are absolutely sound, like how all of them are. I know you've probably heard it time and time again throughout the sort of Wembley run-in, but I think like taking sort of the sort of like media side away from it and being really professional, honestly, to the ground, I can't say enough how much, like, there is no clicks whatsoever. And the amount of sort of football teams I've been a part of, or you hear about where there's just cliques and there's groups, I think it's normal in a lot of clubs for there to be, oh, that's their group, that's their group, that's their group. Genuinely. And it summed it up, like going on holiday together after Wembley. I think only two people missed it, three people missed it because of obviously, like, I think there was personal reasons or whatever. Everyone, it doesn't matter who you were with, you got on, and that sort of like epitomized the team and how we were. And it's been like that for the 2-3 seasons I've been there. This year it's just been highlighted because of how well we've done. But you know, last year when we were in this county one, it was the exact same. The group of boys were exact same. We were all sort of in it together.
Was there a sort of,
how did the sorry, Joe,
I was just gonna say, when that season hit of COVID, obviously they were top of the league and well clear, should have won promotion then, and then started again like a house on fire, absolutely powering Division One, and then we stop again. Did you sort of think, is this actually going to happen? Are we going to actually get up, or are we going to be stuck at this level, you know, for a while?
Yeah, that was exactly it. And I think what really sort of hurt us as a club was in that after the first COVID and then it restarted again.
Yeah.
When they released the FA Cup, I think they only put like six teams in it, and we weren't in it. We weren't one of them. And oh, we like, obviously from the position that we were in, and I can't remember how they decided those teams that were going in the FA Cup, but for a non-league team, the FA Cup's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we were absolutely fuming. We were just like, this is ridiculous. But we sort of used that like, as like, right, let's stick it to them. Like, we'll use that. And that's always what we've done. We've always gone with, you know, people wanting us to lose, people wanting us to fail and stuff. And it's like, we just use it as motivation. It's that's sort of what we've done. And I think that's such a sort of testament to our character. And you see that. How many times the season just gone were we, you know, 1-0 down, 2-0 down. And it's like, oh, they pulled it back 3-2, or they won 5-2. Like, the game was a write-off in the end. Because it's, we just had this attitude. I mean, other than Newham away, we'll leave that one though. We just had this attitude where it was like, it doesn't matter where we are in a game, we've always got a chance of getting back in it.
I looked at the sort of, I think we've said it plenty of times on this non-league podcast, Premier Non-League podcast, about how COVID has sort of made a very weird sort of, I say, bond with a lot of the clubs, because a lot of the squads have been lucky to stay together. And it's kind of like, it's hit us home. Like, as I said off air, like, I'm Worthing fan, and, you know, we went and won the league. Just like that, Sussex football's been brilliant for like us, Hastings, you guys at Littlehampton, everything like that. But there's a lot of clubs that obviously people are moving on now, and you've been used to seeing the same players, which is so unusual for a non-league. What did that feel like for you guys? Because were you sort of worried at any time that this season people might move on and you're going to lose that bond and, you know, the ways that got you to Wembley? Because we know that's all about teams. You look previously when Leicester won the Premier League, I think they did it on, literally, was it like 20 million or something like that? And it was just that team bond. And that's the reason they won the Premier League. And I think that's why clubs like yourselves, Worthing, Hastings, because they managed to keep a lot of the players. Do you think that could, are you worried that could affect next season? Or are you reckon that you've kept the majority of the squad, it's going to be a sort of similar sort of scenario?
Yeah, I think if you look at sort of who we've kept and stuff and who's gone, there hasn't been many go. And that's sort of the thing. I think you made a really good point about, like, pre-COVID, how common was it to see players like jump from team to team and, oh, he's gone there, he's in another club for him. I'll even dig out Gaskin for that. He's been everywhere. But now that's it. We've kept such a good sort of core group of what we had last year. Obviously, I think our biggest loss would probably be Tom, you know, sort of calling it a day. What an absolute player, and he'll be missed. I mean, it doesn't matter what standard he was playing at. I think he's unbelievable. He's gonna be someone that we're gonna miss massively. But for what we've got, and like I said, how we've kept everyone together, or the majority of people together, yeah, I think it's such a sort of positive thing to come back to pre-season and be like, oh, buzzing, we've kept the group. It's not like, oh God, we've lost so many here.
So talking like about next season, you've obviously signed for Littlehampton yet again, which is great to see. You're keeping part of that together. You're enjoying playing your football there. Now, when you score 60 goals in a season, you miss 3 months, you injure yourself a couple of times. I'm not being funny, Joe. There must have been calls from much higher up in possibly even Football League. Am I right in saying that, or am I wrong in saying that, or even top of non-league? And how? And no offence to Littlehampton, because as I said, there's nothing against them here, but they're a step four club. If you're getting called from above, what's made you stay at Littlehampton?
Yeah, no, I think Football League definitely didn't happen. That's the mad thing with non-league and how much, like, I get kids at school coming up to me and be like, sir, I heard you turned down this club and this club. I'm like, oh, slow down.
What are some of the clubs gone? What are some of the clubs they said? Go on.
I've had quite a few, like, League Two clubs. I've had the Worthing, I've had Dartford. Like, a couple of them, don't get me wrong, a couple of them have been like on the lines of being true. But yeah, there's been some out there which have made me laugh. What was the other? I think that there was one mad one up north. Was it Sunderland? It was something ridiculous, a Macclesfield or something. And I was like, what is going on here? This is ridiculous. I think the main interest come around, it must have been like October, November. And yeah, like, I'm not going to lie, yeah, quite a few sort of clubs come in. I think the highest was Conference South. It was tough to be like, no, I'm going to stay. And I think my reasoning at the time was I just started at my school that I'm at now. I've taken on a new role. And, you know, for me, being sort of 27 years old, and I know to a lot of people that doesn't sound madly old in football terms, but you know, football is not my profession. My profession is teaching, and that's what I absolutely love to do. And I can't have, like, football affect that. Like, with teaching, there's especially being a PE teacher, the amount of hours away from the classroom is just massive, like going on fixtures, art parents' evening, all things like this, where I know that a club at, you know, Conference South, Conference Prem are going to be like, no, that's not acceptable. You need to be at training. Whereas Littlehampton have just been so sort of reasonable, so understanding, and that's probably been the biggest part of it. In that I know I've got a team that support me and they sort of support my career and what I have to do. And then obviously just what we had, like what we have, should I say, how we are as a team, and that's a big sort of pulling point. If you're at a club that you don't enjoy and someone comes in and offers you X, Y, and Z, you're going to be like, oh yeah, that's unreal. But when you're at a club where you're like this is decent, like this is really, really good, I enjoy it, it's a good crack, and we're decent as a group, you know, when those offers come in, it's like, well, let's actually give this some thought. Because I think a lot of people in my position, and fair play to them, you know, everyone's got their opinions, would be like, he's mad for not going to Conference South and to push himself and to do things like that. And everyone's got their opinion. I totally respect someone saying to me, oh, well, you're not challenging yourself and you're not pushing yourself. That's fair enough. But you're entitled to your opinion there. For me, you know, my career is the most important thing. And football is, unfortunately, second to that. I think if this sort of success as an individual. I mean, call it success. Jesus Christ, what do I sound like? if this would have come, if this would have come at 22, 23, like I'm just leaving uni, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a fully qualified teacher, then yeah, 100%. That's going to be, you know, the earnings from that. I could really start to make something of it. But now with the position I'm in and what I do, it has to take priority.
So you think it's unlikely that you would ever become a full-time footballer in your careers now? Because it's great to hear that you've got so much passion for being a teacher. Because we all know, Trev, we've said it many times before, haven't we? Like, even step three, you know, even if Littlehampton get a promotion next season, the travel does get more and more. You look at, you know, as a Worthing fan, some of the deepest, darkest nights to Margate, to Folkestone, you know, up Brightling Sea region, and, you know, all of those. And, like, even next season in Conference South, we look at trips to, we're actually playing Weymouth away midweek. I mean, that's a long journey. Imagine if you had to do that as a teacher, you wouldn't be able to go, probably, would you?
That's it. And I don't get me wrong, I always said, I said to Mitch and George this season, like, if something comes in and it is stupid not to, you know, stupid to turn it down, then I'm gonna do that. And again, that's where them two have been unbelievable in their life, and we would totally support you. And that's where, you know, even the people at work, I know, would be supportive of that. And I know that they would be like, we can, you know, we can change your hours, we can do stuff like that. But I don't know, when there's talk of stuff like that, and again, this probably comes back to me not sort of having the biggest sort of like self-confidence when it comes to football. And I don't think I could be playing at that level. I genuinely don't. I think when you watch, the biggest thing I noticed, right, from Wembley, I said this to my missus when I got back, the two games on the day, obviously we had us and then, what was it, Bromley and Wrexham.
Bromley, Wrexham, yeah.
When they come out, so we were, I think we just finished, we were in the Bobby Moore Lounge, and then my sister was over from Canada, my girlfriend wanted to take like photos, and we're like, right, we'll go out onto the like the sound bit so we can see. And their lot come out, I think it was Wrexham coming out, and I was just looking, I was like, they're just blokes. Like, they are blokes, like built proper athletes. And I don't know, that's where I'm just sort of look at myself and I'm like, there's still a long way to go. If I wanted to get to that, I've got to work like hard. You've got to push yourself. You've got to put yourself in a better position. And people would look at that and go, yeah, why are you speaking poorly of yourself? But I think you've got to be honest with yourself at times. You've got to be like, well, can I really do that? So, yeah. I know not everyone would agree with me saying stuff like that, but that's just the way I am. I'm just, yeah.
That's all about you. You're the guy. It's your life, mate. You know, you've got to make the decisions that you do. I mean, from what I've seen, I personally think you probably could do it. I'm sure a lot of people say that to you, but you're the one that's got to make that decision. And if you've got a happy work-life balance right now, that's all that matters, because you wouldn't want to upset the apple cart by doing something, push yourself and then regretting that decision, would you?
Yeah, and I think that's it. Like, all of just football in life, but life is, I don't want to upset people. I know when you get higher, you know, people's jobs are on the line. You look at, you know, people in positions, you know, managers in Conference South, especially Conference Prem, that's their job, that's their livelihood. So if you're upsetting that person, if you're putting them in an awkward position, I don't feel comfortable with that. And I wouldn't want to put someone in that position. That's, you know, I try everything in my power not to do that. So, yeah, that's sort of one of the biggest things for me.
As a small part, have you said to yourself, though, I could play football probably maybe the next 6 years, maybe then I've got 30 years I could still teach for? Has that tiny bit sort of come into your mind?
There you go, Trevor. That's the question. Yeah. There you go, mate.
He's very tempting you. Yeah, I've had the experienced teachers in the department ask me that question as well. I think, yeah, no, it has. Of course it has. It's it's one of them things that, like I said, if the offer come in where it would be silly, then I would definitely make that sort of plunge and make that challenge for myself. But yeah, for now, and you know, things change and stuff like that. I am really happy, and like you said, I'm happy with the work life balance, and to see what this season brings. This is a challenge in itself, in that there's a lot of people that say, oh, you know, he can score goals at that level, but can he do it the next league up? Like, that's a big jump. And yeah, and they're right. They're completely right into question that. And of course, you've got to prove yourself at whatever level you play at. So yeah, I'm up for the new challenge. I'm up to see what we can do as a team, and yeah, bring it on. It'll be a good laugh, whatever happens.
Be very exciting, won't it? I mean, as Trevor agreed with me there, like I personally, from what I've seen, Trevor's watched Littlehampton a lot this season. I personally think you could do it at a higher level. If you have another season like you did last year and this season, surely it's going to be some head turning at the end of the season. Come on, mate. You can't say that, can you?
Oh, no, honestly, I can't see it happening again. Mate, I'll be honest, like I had no expectation that would happen whatsoever this season. The amount of questions I've had since then and being like, you know, what did you sort of predict for yourself before the season and stuff? And I remember, I think I said it to you, Trev, when you spoke to me and G, and I was like, if I got 30, like that would be massive. That would be so good. And G said he's going to hate that I said this. On presentation evening, he gave me manager's player. And he pulled me to the side at the end, like obviously everyone gone. And he was like, I was really close to saying that. Apparently G finished on like 47 goals,
47,
right?
Didn't he? Yeah.
So he said, I was so close to announcing that I hit 47 goals like December 15th or something. And he was like, I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. It was a mad, mad start to the season, to the point where I remember saying, like I used to say to myself after, I think it was like September, I was on like 20. I was like, right, I'm just going to be I'm going to aim for 10 goals a month. I'm going to try and get to the next month on the net, like 30, then 40, then 50. And I think pretty much until December, we had a couple of games called off being on 47. Like I backed myself. I was like, I can get 50 before Christmas. I can get 50. And then I think there was like some poor weather. We were meant to play EP and it got called off before the new year. And I was like, no, I had a chance. And especially as that game when we played EP in January, I got 7. It was done it. I was fuming.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It must be quite... So let's just go back again. So
go on.
60 goals. And you're out for 3 months injured, wasn't it, roughly? About 3 months?
Yeah, I think it worked out to be 11 games.
So let's just see. Well, I mean, have you worked out your goal-to-game ratio?
What did I play? I think I finished on... 40, it was like mid 40s, low 40s. So
if you haven't been injured for those 3 months, it could have been near the 90s, couldn't it, surely?
Well, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I don't know. It's all lift butts, isn't it? It's frustrating to look back on, because it was like, what could have been? And I think the one that kills me the most was the New Haven one, where the second shoulder went, because when I look at it, I think from the time doing it at Newham to then the New Haven game, I'd only missed, I think it was like 4. And I'll like, now looking back on it, I'm thinking, oh, the 4 games is nothing in comparison to the 11 or whatever it was that I missed. So that was probably the hardest one to take. And sort of being like to myself, that like accepting it, being like, is this genuinely happened? How have I gone from doing the right one and then doing the left? Like, how is this possible? That was tough. That was really tough and frustrating. But yeah, it could have been a few more than 60.
Yeah. So what's that mean for this season? Because obviously we know you're in a higher league, a tougher league. It's, you know, it's where you've gone from county to Isthmian South. You know, you're going to be in a tough league. What have you said? I mean, if you don't want to share them, that's fine. But I mean, because we can recall you back at the end of the season, mate. And say, look, what's going on here, mate? Or if you smash it. So have you got a number in your head? And is that number you're going to share with us? Or are you going to be a top secret agent and not tell us till the end of the season when we get you back on?
Firstly, there is not a chance I'm hitting 60 again. There's no way. I don't think I'll ever do it ever again. I won't even do it down like pitching phase on a Monday night over the space of however long. Genuinely, I'm being honest. I haven't even sort of given the season like thought yet. I think I've only had two pre-season sessions. They were last week. Like this week we had, like, I missed, this is what I mean about work. So Monday we had year 11 prom, so therefore I couldn't go to training. And then tonight we had like meet the parents of the new sort of year groups coming up, and that didn't finish till 7:30. So I missed training again. So I genuinely haven't given it for, I know that.
Can I imagine like a year 11 prom's probably more stressful than a Wembley Cup game, like being a teacher, isn't it?
absolute carnage. Absolute carnage. But yeah, sorry. No, it's all right. I haven't given it sort of any thought. I know that sounds a very media trained answer, but I promise. I think double figures over 10. Yeah.
I think that's a given, mate. To be honest, yeah, you keep yourself injury free.
I think it depends on sort of where I'm played and stuff. In that, were you at the last game of the season, Trev? The top team one?
Yes, yeah. You played in the 10.
I played in the 10, and obviously I hadn't played in the 10 since the Mile Oak days, and I always loved playing in the 10. I've always felt like, I know this is after 60 goals, I've always said I'm not a natural striker, and the boys give me so much stick for that. But I'm genuinely not.
Was it George calls you the second best striker in the club?
Yeah, he's so sick. Like, the way George is, he is a natural striker. He is. He can be greedy. What he does, his positioning, that is a natural striker. There's times on, like, when a play is sort of happening, I'm sort of like, am I in the right position here? I mean, you probably saw at Wembley where I got about 3 touches. I was like, what is going on? Like, and that's sort of it. Like, I've always thought that I was a natural number 10. And in that game against Saltbean, I thought it was probably one of the best games that I've played this season. It depends on sort of where I'm played next year, because that will obviously affect sort of goals and chances. I still back myself to score from the 10, but I'm not going to have as many chances, especially if George is playing up top because he shoots at everything. So, it will be interesting to see.
I think you need to just look down the road and think of a certain Worthing player, Mr. Pierce, who won the Golden Boot. And I think, was it Trev? Was it 30 or 30? Oh, is it more than that? I can't remember enough.
34
league, I think it was. Yeah. And then he got like 4 in the cup. So, you know, you like to say, but if you've got an eye for goal, mate, and depends how the level is, you're going to see yourself scoring. And, you know, we look now that Hastings are out of the league, I think, you know, it's going to be a very wide open league, that South, Isthmian South. Don't you, Trev?
Yeah. I think there's a few clubs I'd expect to be up there, but Hayward Heath, Sevenoaks would be strong. You've got Ashford.
But now I've read on the internet a lot of people sort of surprise entry would be Littlehampton because of the way they did last season. And, you know, obviously I know you guys would probably, Joe, want to be sort of cementing your place in the South rather. I mean, obviously a promotion, back-to-back promotion would be amazing, but I think when you look sensibly, I think you guys would want to cement yourself and then just try and get as high up the table for the confidence to take on the next season. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I think it's one of them things, isn't it? You want to establish yourself within that league. The amount of time that the club's been in the county league and then to going into this, I'm not 100% on the club's history, but is it their first time in there?
Yeah, first time.
In the there club, you go. So, like that's massive for the club. And I think if you look at the likes of sort of Chichester now and how they've sort of established themselves within that league, I think that's what the club would like to do. They want to sort of be a familiar face in that league, that doesn't mean that we're not backing ourselves to do well, not at all, because that's just not the way we are. That's not in us. I think priority would just be to establish ourselves.
No, so I mean, It's I mean, the Isthmian leagues in general are very exciting leagues. You must be, I mean, what's the thing you're looking forward to the most? I mean, for me, being a Worthing fan, going up to the National South for the first time, I mean, you look, Sussex football, as you could say yourselves, Hastings, Worthing, even like you could kind of class Dorking in that area because they were originally in the Sussex County leagues. And what a hotbed of football it is right now. You must be so proud to be in this cluster of real amazing football talent at the moment. So what's your sort of excitement for the season, apart from sort of the new grounds and clubs? What are you really looking forward to?
Well, I think like you said there, like that is the most important thing to sort of say, is that how well Sussex football is doing. Like, you look at Worthing, mate, honestly, what a club, and how much they've sort of progressed, how much they've come on, like averaging what, over 1,000 a game.
Yeah.
I mean, your pre-season game a couple of days ago, what, you had 400 or 500 there.
I couldn't believe that. Yeah, it was amazing. 450, yeah.
That's ridiculous. And that, you've got to give that as credit to the players. And, you know, you mentioned Ollie earlier, and players like that. It's the football that they produce and the entertainment that they provide for the prices that it is, you know, comparing it to professional football nowadays, people are deciding, being like, you know what, like, why wouldn't I just go round the road? I can park up, I can walk down there and just go and enjoy it. And then, you know, I'm home within half an hour. People are making that change. So, yeah, I think for Sussex football, it's unbelievable. But looking forward to the most, just that little bit more of a professional setup. Obviously, it's still miles away from that, but playing at, you know, half-decent pitches, playing, you know, teams with a more of a fan base. Now, I know not everyone is like that, and I think we wasn't like that a few years ago, but no. The fact that we've sort of created what we have is amazing. But things like that are going to be really nice. And the opportunity to play, you know, teams that I've never played in my life. I think you're if you're in the county leagues, you play the same teams. It's, you know who they are. Everyone knows everyone. But like you said about the sort of size of this league that we've gone into and the distance that we'll travel. You know, I think half of the teams are from Kent. I'm not going to know anyone from Kent playing on the other team. So exploring new grounds, stuff like that, it'll be good.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing a Pierce, Keeley, Ben strike partnership in one time in the future, but we'll leave it at that, mate. Anyway, Trev, what are you saying?
I won't be able to get a goal, but honestly, they'll be especially Ollie, I'm not going to be able to get a goal off that.
I was just going to say, with all the extra grounds or new grounds you've got to go to as well, Joe, you've got the FA Trophy as well, which could send you absolutely everywhere, you know, somewhere completely obscure.
God, imagine a back-to-back Wembley, right? Your trophy one year, last year.
Is that, you two love it? Has there ever been a, like, what's the lowest league team to make the final of the trophy? Do you know?
Oh, God, Statman Trev will be that one.
That's what I was going to say. He's all over it, isn't he?
Yeah. He's probably blogged about it sometime, mate. He needs to go back for his history.
I would say Hornchurch at the moment, I can think of off the top of my head. That
they won it last year.
2 years ago, they won it. They knocked out about three or four National League sides.
What league were they in?
Isthmian. So one above, yeah.
Wow, that's huge. Because I always think when you look at the trophy, you're just going to get a National League side in there.
Yeah.
Joe, you look at what happened to Wrexham. Everyone thought they were a given for promotion and like winning the trophy. And look, they stumbled at the last block.
Yeah. Go on, Trev, go on.
I was going to say, I think North Ferriby have been the only club that have played in a vase and a trophy final, I think.
Yeah, you said that on one of the podcast episodes, mate.
The ranks, got as far as the National League North, I think, got to Wembley. I think they won it as well. Got to the National League. Yeah, went bust because I couldn't afford to stay at that level. But yeah, I think they're
really
able to do that. Yeah,
because Dorking couldn't do that. Did they not make the vase or anything like that?
No, never made the vase. But no.
No, the trophy's fun. I think the trophy, you know, for me, like, you know, it's probably the same with the Vars. The trophy is one of those, you know, it's like the non-league FA Cup as we know. And it's just nice to go to other, like Worthing went to Hayes and Yedding this season. And everyone thought they were going to smash us because they were doing really well at the time. We ended up beating them, I think, by 3 or 4 goals. I think it was Trevor's at the end. And it was really weird because I don't know if you've seen the show Ted Lasso on Apple TV.
Yes, love it.
Yeah, it's actually filmed at Hayes and Yedding's ground. So that training ground is Hayes and Yedding Stadium. So you wouldn't believe it was, mate, because they didn't even have hot water applied to the taps, and the bar was like, you had to go around, and the toilets only had a little port-a-loo. So it wasn't, the money's obviously gone somewhere and it ain't into the club. Yeah. But I don't want to get us into a libel case, Trev, before we get to the new season, do we?
Allegedly.
But yeah, allegedly. Yeah, I say, I wonder where, believe Ted Sine's gone somewhere. But it's a fantastic game. So let's before we end it, let's talk about Wembley, because it's got to be, no matter what you say, you know, we've kind of uncovered that, you know, you love your job, you know, you're happy with the work-life balance at the moment, playing at sort of step four now, your highest level. Mate, to go to Wembley Stadium as a player, no matter what the result was, you must have been pinching yourself at time, because I can't think, like, I went, the most emotional experience I've had as the other club I support is Charlton Athletic. We got to Wembley in 2019. We beat Sunderland in the last minute. That was a, like, out-of-body experience to win like that. And going there with your club is amazing. Trev, have you been with Barnet before to Wembley? No. so I'm the only one that's talking. So, but I normally get the stick for being a Charlton fan, so we'll leave it there. But what was it like as a player? Because I can't think, especially at your level, mate, like, you know, if you're a professional footballer a little higher, you may be expected to see it maybe occasionally once in your lifetime, but as a non-league player in the FA Vars, to have the reprieve that you did, because obviously you thought it was all said and gone, what was it like, mate? Just talk us the emotional experience.
It was mental, and I think it was like one of those things that you didn't fully appreciate and understand until sort of now, really, like a couple of weeks ago, a month later, that sort of thing. Just the realisation of getting there, sort of beating Loughborough, I think, on that day. Obviously, everyone's celebrating, but even when you're celebrating, you're not comprehending the situation. It's like, we're going to Wembley, but it's not tangible. It's not there. You're just sort of thinking about it. And honestly, it is just, you can't really describe it to people, because of it's just one of those things that you almost have to experience to be like, okay, that's what that felt like, and that is mental. I remember going out, so we got in the changing room, and everyone's looking around, and we weren't even in the top changing room. I think the trophy had that, but still, the changing room's just a joke. And we're walking around, everyone's having their photos and stuff, and it's like, right, we'll set up the changing room. You go out onto the pitch, have a little walk around. And at this point, what was really nice, we had time; it wasn't rushed. I think we had like 25, 30 minutes out there. So I literally FaceTimed as many people as I could. And that was the nuts thing. Like, I'm FaceTiming the people and they're outside the stadium. And then it is just nuts. Like, it was so crazy. But like a whirlwind. Warming up was ridiculous. I actually had
a hot day as well, wasn't it?
Mate. The heat, they said to us before, they were like, whatever the temperature. And I never knew this about, like, I don't know if it must be all grounds, but obviously Wembley, because it's so much bigger. Whatever the temperature is outside the ground, it's 10 degrees hotter in the stadium. And I think on that day, it was the hottest day of the year that it'd been. And I think it was like 21 or something. So it was like 30 odd degrees in the stadium. And I was like, oh my word. And with my shoulders now, I wear like a strap. So I wear like a double strap. It's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. I look like an NFL player. It's horrendous. But I won't
wear it. Not wrong
with
that, is there, Trev?
There's nothing wrong with NFL, no.
It is when you're trying to play football. It's horrendous.
It's their type of football, isn't it?
Yeah, true. So I don't wear it on skin. I have to wear a thermal. So I'm warming up. I'm like, oh, this is going to be tough in this thermal. And I remember getting to the point of, we've just done the national anthem, which is mental. Like, the fact I'm saying that and just skipping past it, we've done the national anthem. Yeah, it went on. And we shook the players and refs' hand. And I've gone past the ref, and he's shaking my hand, he's like, are you seriously going to wear that? And I was like, mate, I've got no choice. Look at the state of this. And I've shown him my thing, and he's like, oh, wow. It was so hot. Like, undescribable. But yeah, just the experience in itself, like, going back to that point, from going to the warm-up and then sort of being in the changing room, being like, right, this is it, this is happening. And I feel like the game itself, just, it was such a sort of blur. I remember first 10 minutes, I don't know when that lad scored that worldie, but it was about 15, 20 minutes.
Yes, yeah,
I felt like the first... up until that point, it was just a cagey cup final, like 0-0, could have gone either way at that point. Like, no one was really on top. Maybe they were just a little bit on top, but nothing was really happening. And then all of a sudden, like, as that goes in, and I mean, by the way, scoring that on that occasion was just ridiculous. I went up to him at the end. I was like, mate, that was ridiculous. Because you got to. There's no point being bitter. It was an absolute weldy and a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I think he could do that 50 times and he'll still only get it the once.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, what that gave them was like, we can now do anything. He's just done that on this stage. We can now do anything. And we were sort of like, where the hell has that come from? Oh, we don't feel like we should be 1-0 down. You know, 0-0 was fair at that point. And we just didn't react. We sort of didn't react. That's as simple as that. And I think if you look back on a game, and to this day, I still haven't watched the game. I was just like, I recorded it and everything. And I was like, my old man rang me a couple of weeks later and he was like, just watch the game, mate. Do yourself a favour. Don't watch it back. I was like, all right, mate, I'll give it a miss. But speaking to people, when you actually look at it, like moments of where we would normally build in a game, you know, you get that little bit of momentum, there was something that happened. So your first 20 minutes, then they score an absolute worldie. I think 10 minutes after that, G goes down, like, yeah, and bad. So everyone's like, Christ. A few minutes after that, there's a water break. A few minutes after that, it's half time. So it's like, right, we go back out. I think there's like 10 minutes, then they score. It's like, oh God. And then I think I hit the post and then they score. Then there's a water break and then it's the end. And it's like, we just didn't get sort of a rhythm going. And that's, you can't take anything away from them. They were like excellent. I think they had a game plan and God, did they stick to it and did it work? You look at all of the department from PE went and they were like proper PE teachers looking at statistics, looking at it. Trev, you'd love it in there. And our head department was like, he was like, I watched Bigsy, so whatever number he was, 8. There was a player who did not leave him the whole game.
Yeah.
Every time I touched the ball, I think I had the centre half and the holding midfielder on me. And they just had this game plan and it worked. And you've got to give them credit on an occasion like that. They had a game plan and they stuck to it, which was a massive shame for us. But yeah, credit to them.
We spoke to Mitch Hand at the end of season episode and he still says no matter what season you had, he still was pretty gutted about that result. Do you, I wouldn't say regret, but do you look back with, you know, you won't watch the match, but you gutted it, just you couldn't crown that amazing season. And do you think it maybe talking about the heat, do you think it was something to do with that? What do you think came over? Because from what I understand, it wasn't the Littlehampton everyone was used to seeing that day.
Yeah, that's the thing that upsets me the most is like, the likes of yourself who maybe haven't watched us this season or maybe watched one game, a lot of people tuned into that game who hadn't seen us before, who had gone to that game who hadn't seen us before because they'd heard about us. And the fact that we didn't show up was probably, that's the thing that I'll probably never, ever let go, is that we didn't show them what we are. Like, people look at that and we're like, yeah, but you, like, you were rubbish. And they're not wrong, but one game doesn't define a season. I think the 3 trophies obviously proves that. But that's the hardest thing to take, just not showing up. But I do feel like in the game, when I hit the post, which, by the way, there is not a day that goes by that I don't think about that. It was the maddest thing. And it doesn't sound as good saying I've hit the post at Wembley than I've scored at Wembley. I'll try and cling on to it. I felt like been a turning point, and that's another hard thing to accept, because I think when people have told me of watching it back, apparently got like the tiniest deflections to then go on to the post. Within 2 minutes they're up the other end, they've got a penalty, and it's like, that's it, it's game over. If that goes in, you know, Littlehampton as a club, our fans are going to go mental. Like, how do they react to that? And that's again something that's really, really hard to take and be like, it didn't happen, but it takes nothing away from them. They deserve that.
On the flip side of it, Joe, had you won it, you couldn't defend it next year because you jumped up into the trophy. And I think if I remember rightly as well, I think only one side's defended it and gone back to Wembley in the entire competition.
Really?
In the competition. Yeah, I think it was Whitley Bay went twice in 2 years, but no one else managed to do it. That shows how difficult it is. And I think I've put in quite a few things. 618 teams started in September, only two make it, you know, and you were one of those two. It's that difficult to, you know, to do that, it and do it again.
That's it. Like, now I can look back. Like, we had, it was on a Sunday, wasn't it? We had school on the Monday. So, like, I go into school on a Monday. Oh my God, the amount of kids that are talking about it, like, all stuff like that. And they're going, like, even teachers are like, oh, but, you know, you've had the experience. It's amazing that you've done that. It's an amazing achievement. And you're like, yeah, whatever. We've lost this crap. That's rubbish. Yeah. And I knew that it would take that time for me to then look back. Like, now I look back and go, yeah, like, it's rubbish that we lost. But again, that's genuinely a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Mm. You could pick 1,000 people out from the street and say, how many of you have played at Wembley? Oh, none. Right, okay. Yeah. Like, that's how crazy it is to be like, we have played at the home of football. That doesn't happen. So now I can look back on it and be like that. But straight after the result, I definitely wasn't like that. I was absolutely spitting feathers.
No, don't blame me. I mean, I think it's just the pure emotion of it all. And it's just, you look back in the what ifs. It's always the what ifs, isn't it? You know, but, you know, I think it's one of those things that you're never going to take away from that experience. You never know. You might do well this season. You might get back there as a trophy. You could do that record, couldn't you, Trev?
I could.
That would be pretty nuts.
But Joe, before we wrap it up tonight, it's been a great chat with you. We've said it on all of the podcasts this season. When we've spoken to someone, what obviously got the obvious of Wembley. What was your highlight of the season? Obviously, you won a treble with some great little trophies, everything like that, and you've been a real beacon of light for the whole of Sussex, as Littlehampton, as we've already said in the podcast. There's been three or four clubs in this area that have just shown the sort of South Coast as an amazing place for football. But what is your highlight? If you could pick up one moment, I'm sure there's more than one, but if you had to say one moment, what was it?
It's got to be the supporters song, hasn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
Go on, Trev, what song's this? Is Joe going to give us a little song?
It's to the tune of the Gala song, Free From Desire, isn't it? Joe Ben's on fire, yeah. But he gets his chips from the wick fryer.
If you think I'm singing it, you have got another thing coming in.
But Joe Ben's on fire, chips from, what was it?
He gets his chips from the wick fryer, Joe Ben's on fire.
I noticed that when you re-signed, they said that on their Twitter or something, like wick fryer,
any chance of Wick Fryer giving any support? I feel like I've given them so much business. I'm getting nothing out of this. It's outrageous.
Come on, Wick Fryer. I think we need something out for him. At least a free 100%. Chippy every Friday or something. But it'd be a bit cold. Don't you live over sort of Shoreham way, mate? Wouldn't it be a bit cold by the time you got there?
I'll take some post-match, though. Home game. I'll drive on the way home.
Get some for the missus. Keep it in a little hot box. I've got a Just Eat bag you can use, mate. That I was using during the pandemic, if you want. Keep it warm. But yeah, go back to it. Apart from the song, what was the highlight? Go on.
I'd taken Wembley out of it because that's just different level. I'd probably say, like, created as a team, like the group that we had, having the what we have as a team there, and the group of lads who were involved in that. 40 years time, we could, you know, we could meet up and be like, remember what we've done? Like, that is mental. The fact that we've sort of made memories for, that sounds so wet as well, memories for a lifetime, like, that's the maddest thing of all, and the experience Wembley gave to people. But I had my young nephew, who's like 3, come over from Canada, never ever been to a sporting event in his life, and the first time he's ever gone to any event is watching his uncle play at Wembley.
Brilliant.
Giving people that, you know, we love and who are around us, that experience, and that's not just Wembley, that's the whole season of what we created. That's been by far the sort of standout thing, because, like I said, that I don't think that season happens again. I really don't.
No, you're right. Very true.
No, it's true. I mean, the thing is I've not been down to Littlehampton games. Mm. I did try, but I think with the running that Worthing had, and, you know, the games I was going to every game, seeing win the trophy. But I think seeing how many supporters came out, if you can even keep a third of that, it's just going to do wonders for the club. You know, I'm sure it'll be more than a third, because I think I've seen on social media people that I've got, my friends that live over Littlehampton, where I've never been interested in non-league football ever, despite the fact they've got Littlehampton, Worthing, you know, Shoreham, they've got, you know, all the clubs. He's pressed and everything. They've never been bothered, but they've seen what's happened at Littlehampton. I think that helped that the that Europa Super League helped a lot of people get disillusioned
massively.
From football. And I think, you know, if they can continue that, and you know, because support at the end of the day is what gets these clubs like yourselves, drives them up the table.
Yeah, without that fans don't realise that. And that's, again, because it sounds so cliche from like what professionals say, it's like, oh, you know, they're the 12th man and stuff, but it makes such a difference. I remember Bexhill last game of the season, obviously we needed to win it to win the league. And our lot were absolutely, like, before kickoff, they are going nuts, like the noise. And I'm sort of looking around at the Bexhill lads, and you see it as like, they look at it and like, oh, we want it. Like, who doesn't want that? Like, why would you not want that? And you see teams crumble. I think Loughborough, technically, what a team. Like, as individuals, they would be unbelievable players. But the occasion, and how many was in there, Trev? 2,000-3,000, whatever it was?
Loughborough was 3,200.
Yeah, like that close, that much on top of you, like that hostile. And it's like, teams melt, and it's so important, and like an advantage that I genuinely don't think fans will ever realise at our level the impact that has. And yeah, I just, like you said, I hope we keep the core of that, and I'm certain that we will. I think they're so supportive. They've literally travelled everywhere we've gone, and yeah, I can't wait for that sort of first game of the season, just to see everyone. I hope it's a home game. Yeah. Just to see everyone back there.
When are the fixtures out? Is it next week?
Yeah, 14th.
Oh, 14th. Yeah, I was going to say, I hope you're not asking me.
There we go.
No idea.
Trevor's made you look clever there. You just say, yeah, 14th, mate. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to you tonight, mate. Thank you for spending your time with us. It'd be really nice if you came on sort of mid-season, sort of catch up with you, see how the season's going. It'd be fascinating to see what you come from County League up to sort of Isthmian and South. I'd really like to sort of catch up and see how you're doing. Would that be something you'd be interested in?
Mate, I'd love to. I love having a chat, as I'm sure you've heard from me. So yeah, anytime, just let us know.
You're better than Mark White, because I had to edit Mark White's quite severely. So at least I can just literally copy and paste your one, mate. So thank you for that, because I'm the one that's got the technology behind it.
Well, I didn't know if I was allowed to swear, and I swear.
Oh, we've had very, very good, because we have had swearing. I haven't edited it out because it adds to the sort of. We had a bunch of amateurs, guy Rich that narrates a bunch of amateurs on, and he did a couple of things. But we were saying to Trev, he's got such a smooth, like, commentary voice.
He's
you can't edit
out.
He's
got a great voice. He has got a very, very good voice. It's brilliant. Keep swear words in.
Yeah, said. and Mark White is just comical value, isn't it, really, to be honest? You can't not.
What an absolute character.
Well, I'll keep it between us and Trevor. I might share it with you one day, but a couple of the clips that Rich played us yesterday that he had to edit out. If you ever watched the episode when Southend didn't allow Rich into film, and there was an unedited clip of what Mark said, it's one for the classics, I'd say. But if that was ever repeated on there, I don't think he'd work in football again.
the fact that he's not made the TikTok, it must be bad.
So yeah, it was good. But look after yourself, Joe Ben. Good luck for next season, and I look forward to catching up some way through. And just following the path of Littlehampton next season. Hopefully you see you up the right end of the table come this time next year.
Cheers, fellas. I appreciate it. Absolute legends. Have a good one.
RUPNLP.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.